Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station of children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Gary Parrish, speaking from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope if you're ever in charge of a basketball team displaced by a hurricane, you have a friend who can offer a 62,000 square foot facility, because that can really be helpful. Fun little story I wrote today about the University of New Orleans basketball team relocating to Memphis over the past couple of weeks. If you've read it, thank you. You haven't? I'll tell you about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. At 4:25, Dan Walken's going to join me. He's a national columnist, USA Today. Among other things, I'll ask him how funny it is that Nick Saban's favorite thing to do is make D's nuts jokes to his players. Dan Walken, USA Today, be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them, wild Thursday night football game last night. You missed it again, Big Bet Bennett.
I know.
You're on a cold streak.
I know. It's tough.
Don't tell me.
It's been tough. We'll ride the ship tonight.
Ooh, Washington beat the Giants, or they just sucked less than the Giants, one or the other. Get into that around 4:44. Weird story involving Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin. He's out this weekend with a concussion, but it wasn't caused by football. A deer is to blame. Tell you more about that a little later on this hour. If you are 65 or older, you will soon be authorized to get a COVID-19 booster shot. The news is not as great for most of the rest of us. I'll tell you more about that just before 5 o'clock, and needless to say, I'll get you updated on the latest on the Gabby Petito story, because there are updates. Brian Laundrie's sister has spoken to the media. A TikTok user jumped on that social media platform and said her and her boyfriend picked up a hitchhiking Brian Laundrie days after it is believed Gabby went missing. So the suspicion surrounding him has intensified. We'll get into that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. Just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go. I got a Dateline preview.
Okay.
Special one-hour edition tonight. Ooh, just a one-hour edition.
Okay.
9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. Got a Dateline preview. We'll do that during dinner to go, and then we'll get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start by telling you about a story I wrote today for CBS Sports. You can read it at cbssports.com. So I was scrolling through Twitter the way I often do at one point last week, and I saw that Mark Schlesinger, who is the head coach at the University of New Orleans, was tweeting from the Lori Walton Family Basketball Center on the South Campus at the University of Memphis. And I said, well, that's interesting. I wonder what they're doing here. And then very quickly you realize, oh, Hurricane Ida, they were displaced. They must have decided to come to Memphis, and they're now working out in the University of Memphis basketball facility. And it was about the same time where one of my editors, you know, every week starts sending out a budget plans. Like, hey, what do you got going on next week? What do you have planned? Do you have anything planned? And it's a very slow time of the year for college basketball outside of recruiting developments. And you can only write the, and Kentucky's got an awesome recruiting class again column so many times. I did it again this week. So I said, hey, the New Orleans basketball program is here in Memphis, displaced by the hurricane. Let me see how long they're going to be here. And if they're going to be here for a little while, then I'll go spend some time with them. And so I decided to reach out to Tim Duncan, who is a former Memphis State player, former teammate of Penny Hardaway, and is now the athletic director at the University of New Orleans, because it wasn't hard to assume that that was probably, or at least it was the most likely connection to how all of this happened. So I reached out to Tim, and he said, yeah, he said, I'm going home. I've been here in Memphis, but I am going back home to New Orleans. But the basketball team is going to stay through the end of next week because their arena, their practice facility, still isn't ready for them to re-enter because the facility, the entire campus, had lost power. But even once you get the power back on, there's all sorts of protocols you have to go through because of possible water damage and possible mold. That it's not like the lights are back on, just come back in the facility. There's a process that has to be gone through. So the basketball team was going to stay through the end of this week. And I said, cool, I'm going to text Mark and try to go out there on Tuesday. And so I went out there earlier this week on Tuesday and was able to sit down with the coaching staff and the players, and it's really just a remarkable situation that goes hand in hand with living in New Orleans now, that it was striking how matter-of-factly some of them talk about this, as it's just a way of life. You know that every year around this time, something like this could happen. As I wrote in the column, you don't pretend that it won't. You just hope that it, when it does, it's not bad. And so let's rewind to August 27th, a few weeks ago. It's a Friday. And Hurricane Ida is barreling toward Louisiana. And it becomes clear that it is going to hit New Orleans. But at the time, it is only a Category 2 hurricane. And as I talked to Tim about it, he said, what history has shown us is that a Category 1 or a Category 2, not great, but you can ride those out. And you can ride them out without having any sort of real fear that you're risking something meaningful. And so the plan as of Friday morning on that August 27th, was to just ride it out. But by the time Friday night came, the hurricane was picking up incredible speed as it was heading towards Louisiana. And it was suddenly expected to be a Category 4 hurricane when it made landfall. And as Tim explained, what history tells them is that anything above a 2, it's time to get out of there. So they start quickly making plans to evacuate New Orleans in advance of the hurricane making landfall. And that was going to happen and did happen on Sunday, August 29th, which coincidentally is the 16-year anniversary to the day that Katrina made landfall. So by the time Hurricane Ida makes landfall in Louisiana, they have all evacuated, but not together. Some players went home, wherever home might be. Some players went to their teammates' home. And there were a handful of players that I understand didn't have great options of places to go. Home was too far away. They didn't know how to get there on such short notice. And so Mark Schlesinger took them about 4 hours north to a town in Louisiana where he used to work. And they just grabbed a hotel and we'll just ride this thing out here. What everybody agreed on is go north. Don't go east. Don't go west. Go north. And so Mark went north about 4 hours to a town in Louisiana. His wife and children went to Shreveport to stay with her brother. Everybody got out of New Orleans. And what you hope in that moment is that the hurricane will hit. You'll get lucky. It won't be too bad. And then everybody will come back home and start rebuilding from that again. But what they found out pretty quickly was that though the hurricane certainly never reached the level of Katrina in terms of damage and deaths, you know, there were 30 people in Louisiana who died. It's billions of dollars of damage. There are little communities that are completely torn apart. Overwhelming rain and winds that reached 150 miles per hour. As anybody in that program will tell you, they got lucky. But lucky still involved them dealing with water damage and still involved them losing power throughout the entire campus. In fact, roughly a million people in Louisiana were immediately without power. So the good news was that everybody's apartment was fine for the most part. Everybody's home was fine for the most part. But you can't go back to a campus that didn't have any power. So they're sitting around on this Monday after the hurricane made landfall. And Tim is talking to his executive committee, other people who work in the athletic department, Mark Schlesinger among them. And he said, all right, where are we going to not just send our men's basketball team, but our women's team, our tennis teams? We can't have these people on campus. There's no power. There's no electricity. And Mark sort of jokingly said, sure, it would be nice to go to Memphis. And Tim said, you know what? That's good. Let me call Penny. Penny, of course, is Penny Hardaway. Tim and Penny played at Memphis State together and have a relationship, a friendship that spans two decades. So as Tim tells the story, he picked up the phone, called Penny. Penny answers. Tim says, hey, here's the deal. Penny says, come on. We'll figure it out when you get here. But just, yeah, our doors are open. And so they have to go back to New Orleans. Everybody goes back to New Orleans. Most everybody goes back to New Orleans with flashlights to get into the facility so they can find practice gear and shoes. Literally hunting the stuff with flashlights in the facility because there's no power. And they all get on a bus and then ride north to Memphis. And they've been living here for about 2 weeks at the Hampton Inn on Poplar and then practicing every day at the Lori Walton Family Basketball Center on that South Campus. And when I went over there on Tuesday, it was interesting because, like, these people and their families are dealing with some real disruption. It's not even something we really even think about. Like, when's the last time, if ever, you've thought about, you know, I might have to leave my home for 2 weeks? Have you ever thought that?
No.
It's never even occurred to me that something would happen here that would cause me to have to leave my house for 2 weeks. But it occurs to them annually. They know They hope that it won't happen every year, but they know that it could. So I was talking to one player, and he is a senior, really good player, and Troy Green, averaged about 15 points per game last season. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to him is because he's a senior as opposed to a freshman. And just doing the math on it, a senior, a 22-year-old, might remember Katrina, whereas a freshman might not. But also, he's somebody who grew up in the greater New Orleans area. He's not just somebody who goes to school there. He's been there his whole life. So I was talking to him about being displaced, and again, it was striking how matter-of-factly he talked about it. Literally, the first words out of his mouth when I asked him a question was, this isn't my first time dealing with hurricanes. Dealt with Katrina. Dealt with Gustav. I said, how many times have you been displaced? He's 22 years old. Displaced, meaning you can't be at home and you can't go back. You have to leave your house and you can't go back for an extended period of time. 22 years old. He said 4 times. Think about that.
Jeez.
Think about that. That's like once every 5 years of his life, he has to leave his house because of a, quote, natural disaster that may or may not do real damage. And then he can't go back home when the storm immediately passes because home is not a viable option for whatever reason. Maybe because your house is not there anymore. Maybe because it suffered water damage, the roof got ripped off. Perhaps because there's just no power. And he said, yeah, 4 times we've had to do it. And I said, you do remember Katrina? He said, oh, sure. I'm old enough to remember it. And Katrina was another level of disaster because the levees failed and the city flooded. Lots of cities flooded. So this wasn't that. But this is still an incredible disruption. Like, I'm in the gym and Mark Schlesinger's 9-year-old son is in the gym. He should obviously be in school, but there's no school. And so you got this family, Mark, his wife, and their 3 children, all living in a hotel in Memphis for 2 weeks when New Orleans is their home. And on one hand, you would think, or at least I would think, like, why do you, like, can you still live there? Like, if this is going to be a realistic thing, possibility, every single year, I mean, at what point do you say, this isn't the place to live or raise a family? And, oh, by the way, I know people who used to live in New Orleans who left because they said it's just no way to raise a family. The idea that every August you're in hurricane seasons unlike anything we've ever seen because of climate change, and you have to leave your home and you don't know if it'll be there when you get back. And you don't know, even if it is there, when you'll be able to go back. And yet I couldn't find one person who viewed that the way I view it. From a distance, from up here, it was like, well, what do you, like, that seems like a crazy way to live. But talking to the people who actually lived through it, they said it's just like any other place where you live. You take the good with the bad. They have an assistant coach who I've known for a long time named Jody Bailey, and he said, if you live in California, you have to deal with earthquakes. If you live in the Midwest, you got to deal with tornadoes, and we have to deal with hurricanes. It's just part of it. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the greatest city in the world, and I'll take the good with the bad. It's just an interesting perspective that surprised me on some level.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't up here feeling sorry for themselves, wondering why us. Every other basketball program outside of the other programs based in New Orleans, are all on campus in their own facilities getting ready for a season. They're living in a hotel off Poplar, practicing in the University of Memphis' facility for nearly two straight weeks. And yet, in that gym, it was as positive a place as you've ever seen. And it was because they were trying to make the best of it. As a team, they were going to movies, went bowling, went and visited the National Civil Rights Museum, had incredible meals. And then I thought this was interesting. You know, these are mid-major players. And all of a sudden, you know, they're in a facility that looks unlike anything they've ever been in. Mm-hmm. And, oh, Larry Brown just walked in, and now he's watching us practice. Like this Troy Green, who I talked to, he said, my favorite player is Allen Iverson. I wear number three because Allen Iverson wore number three. Larry Brown was his coach. And I got to meet Larry Brown yesterday. It's unlikely any of these players will play in the NBA. But there's Imani Bates walking in. There's Jalen Duren walking in. There's Penny Hardaway right there. There's Rasheed Wallace over there. They seemed not starstruck or in awe, but like, wow, this is kind of cool. We'd rather not be here. But it's kind of cool to be here in this incredible facility. There's Larry Brown watching us practice. There's Penny Hardaway popping in and fist bumping us. There's a preseason top 10 team going to work out on this floor just as soon as we get done. And so I give the University of Memphis a lot of credit for opening their doors. It's very easy to say no, although I'm not sure why you would. But you don't have to say yes. And yet, again, as Tim Duncan tells the story, he wasn't picking up the phone to call the University of Memphis. He was picking up the phone to call his friend, who happens to be the head basketball coach at the University of Memphis. And he knew before he even asked the question what the answer would be. You guys need a place to stay? A place to practice? A place to lift weights? Absolutely. Our doors are open. And Tim said he was really, really proud that his hometown and his alma mater were able to help the school that now employs him, but a school that he has real affection for after working there and watching all of the things that people who live in that community and work on that campus have to endure. So it was just a sweet little story. These two basketball players who played at the University of Memphis in the early 90s, I can't imagine they ever thought 30 years later that one of them would be an athletic director, the other one would be a head basketball coach, and one of them would have to help the other one by opening the doors to a 62,000-square-foot facility so that the athletic director's basketball team could have a place to practice. If you haven't read it yet, go check it out if you want. CBSSports.com. Dan Wilkins up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like life.
True crime stories have dominated the week. One in South Carolina, another one in Florida. That one involves missing Gabby Petito. There are updates in the case today. I can't wait to talk about him in the next segment. Then Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he's a national columnist, USA Today. It's Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So I got a lot of college football stuff I want to talk to you about, but first, since I last spoke with you, Emma Raducanu became a U.S. Open champion at the age of 18. Just graduated high school, wasn't seeded, and then wins the U.S. Open. I watched it, loved it, thought it was terrific. Is this a one-off deal, or is there some thought in tennis circles that it's sustainable and she can actually be one of the greatest players in the world?
We never really know, and that's part of what really is intriguing about the sport is you have had one-offs in the past of people who just kind of come out of nowhere and get hot and over a span of a couple weeks, like, they can do something really amazing. And yet, there's also times where it's a sign of something that's to come. And it's hard to project with her because she just really had no background on tours. This was her, like, fifth event at the tour level in her whole career. She had played one Grand Slam previously. So it's just hard to know, but she has a ton of components in her game that are, like, technically super sound, super solid, very hard for it to break down. But now, like, her life is going to change instantly, and we'll see how she deals with that. Probably just based on what she did at the U.S. Open, she's going to make $100 million. Just incredibly marketable, checks so many boxes, British, mother's Chinese. She speaks Mandarin. She's obviously, you know, a very pretty young girl. So there's just going to be all these opportunities thrown at her. And who knows? But, you know, I do think she, in terms of her skill and technical ability, like, there's a lot there to like. But now she's going to have to do it, you know, a lot more times to really be one of the best players in the world. And I hate to put, like, that kind of expectation on somebody who's so young, but that was certainly a special thing to witness over the last couple weeks.
It is wild, as you're saying that. I can't even think of a comp in terms of a professional athlete watching their life change so dramatically, so quickly. Like, even the Ja Morant story, which is a life change dramatically very quickly. The truth is, by the start of his sophomore season at Murray State, people thought he was an NBA player. And then as the season progressed, people thought he was a top five pick. You've got time to build up to that and prepare for, oh, wow, I'm really going to be worth millions of dollars very soon. This young woman, nobody knew her 3 weeks ago. And you're exactly right. I saw a marketing executive quoted somewhere earlier this week say that she will out-earn every other female athlete in the world in the next calendar year, and that person put the number at $100 million. The idea that you could go from a complete unknown to somebody who's going to make $100 million in a span of 2 weeks is insanity. And listen, it's a great thing to have happen to you, but I imagine it can mess with you a little bit too.
Well, just look at Naomi Osaka.
Right.
I mean, she has had a ton of problems and issues dealing with what comes alongside the massive amount of fame that she's achieved. And so now you have this, you know, very young person who the next time she shows up at a Grand Slam tournament in Australia in 4 months, like, she's going to be considered one of the favorites to win. And I don't know if that's fair or if it's not fair, but she'll have, you know, a good ranking, and she'll have won the most recent Grand Slam tournament, and, like, there's going to be just a lot of eyeballs on her. And it's also, like, it's tennis, and you're playing, like, really good people, and it's not hard to lose. So, I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting to follow. There's no story that's ever been like it. Because, yeah, there have been teenagers come along who've done great things, but it was always preceded by a lead-up of some length of time that suggested that this was going to happen for them in pretty short order. This is just totally out of the blue.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. On to college football. Has Nick Saban ever hit you with a D's nuts joke?
No, but I sure wish he had. you know, the thing about Saban is, and I think people kind of forget this because they have an image in their mind, and he's been in our lives for so long that they think he's kind of this, like, robotic guy. But he is a human being, and, you know, you hear stories about what he's like behind the scenes, and, yeah, he's demanding, and he can be crazy, and, you know, the coaches, you know, will get chewed out for not doing something, all that stuff, but he does have a side to him that's very human and very funny, and I think you have to have, as a college coach, you have to have that sort of emotional intelligence just to have any sort of basic connection with the young people that you're dealing with every day, and he has that, obviously, or else he wouldn't be as successful as he's been. So, like, even though it's like this crazy funny story and everyone's jumping on it, I actually think it's indicative of why he's so successful, which is he's able to, like, not just yell at people and get them to play good football, but he's able to, like, pick up jokes and make people laugh and all that stuff. It's just not the norm that we actually get to see what's behind the curtain.
If I put every coach who could reasonably be hired by USC on the table, which one would you hire? And ultimately, and perhaps this is a different answer, who do you think they'll hire?
Yeah, on the first part, you know, I think maybe I would go with Bill O'Brien, which is kind of a name that's out there, but maybe not one that everyone is jumped on early. I think there's been way more focus on, you know, James Franklin and people like that, but I think if you look at the job Bill O'Brien did at Penn State when he inherited just about as bad a situation as you could imagine coming off the Jerry Sandusky scandal, and you're replacing Joe Paterno and a lot of people are very upset and you've got these massive NCAA sanctions and the whole thing really could just fall apart. He did a great job to keep that thing competitive, to keep it above water. You know, and then he goes off to the NFL, and while I do think that there are people who associate his name with failure in the NFL, I think it's mainly because of his GM, you know, personnel side, not the coaching side, where I think he had some pretty good success. I mean, just a couple years ago, they were in the playoffs, and I believe they were up 21-0 or 20-0 on the Kansas City Chiefs in a playoff game just a couple years ago. And so, you know, I think that the guy knows how to coach. I think he's, you know, he's at Alabama right now. He's taking that year as the offensive coordinator, and they're obviously going to score a lot of points. But, you know, I just think he's got the right mix of experience. He understands how to deal with, you know, the kind of exposure and media pressure you deal with at USC. I just think he checks a lot of boxes there, and I think if I were making the hire, I'd look very strongly at him.
Who do you think they ultimately get?
I mean, it's so early in the process, you know. They're not really even going to be able to dial in on this search until, you know, until November in any sort of meaningful way. And, you know, the James Franklin thing does make some sense. Like, I just think, is it time for him to go? Has he been at Penn State long enough? Has he plateaued there? If he is, can you get that kind of a job where you're at a program that probably has an even higher ceiling? There's like not that many of those, and USC is certainly one of the few that is open. I think he could breathe life into it. I mean, I'd say right now he's probably the favorite, but there's just so many unknowns about just what that whole process is going to be, and it's just going to be like this 3 months of just interminable speculation about who and you know what their interest level is and what's going on behind the scenes. And you know, 99% of it is going to be just total bunk, but it's totally going to dominate the coaching talk and landscape for several weeks. And that's just what happens when you fire a coach so early at a program of that magnitude.
Can I get you to pick Memphis over Mississippi State tomorrow?
I mean, I guess I could see it happening. You know, I will say Mississippi State on the defensive side of the ball has been very good. You know, they really shut down NC State last weekend, and that was a team that people came into the season saying was going to be the best Dave Doran team yet at NC State, and you know, could potentially be a top 20 type team. And Mississippi State, just from you know their defense, just completely stopped them. So Memphis has been scoring a lot of points. They've been giving up a lot of points. Like, does that mean that this is going to be like kind of a shootout game, or is it going to be something where Mississippi State is going to limit them and Memphis is going to have trouble scoring? I don't have a good feel for it, really, but I do think it's a game that they can certainly win because they clearly have good offense and good skill players like they normally do.
Wrap it up here with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, the 2:30 CBS game. Number one, Alabama, at number 11, Florida. So it's a matchup of big-time programs, big-time coaches, top 15 teams, and yet the point spread is Alabama minus 14.5. Is this going to be competitive?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that kind of game being competitive for a while, but ultimately I'm just kind of on Team Alabama in every game until proven otherwise, you know, and I don't care what the point spread is. I don't care about going on the road. Just they are a team that is so loaded with talent every single year. You know, Bryce Young's a young quarterback, but he's obviously tremendous, and he's going to be an NFL player. Seems very mature and composed, has a great understanding of what they're trying to do. And last week, I mean, Saban was hard on them last week, and typically when that happens, they come out the next week and they kill it. So I think they know how to build as a program to sort of these peaks during a season for specific games. Kind of reminds me of like every year when people hype A&M against them and Alabama just comes out and destroys them. I think it's kind of the same thing here. Like this could be a competitive game for a half, but you're just going to have to prove it to me before I believe that Alabama is going to be in any real trouble.
That is Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com. He's on Twitter, at Dan Wolkin. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll see you.
When we come back, there are updates in the Gabby Petito story. A TikTok user has taken to that social media platform to explain how her and her boyfriend picked up Gabby's fiancé, Brian Laundrie, as he was hitchhiking. And yet, even in real time, before they knew this beautiful 22-year-old woman was missing, possibly dead, even before they knew that, she felt something was just a little off with this guy. Like his story didn't make much sense. Get you updated next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Godzilla, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and wrong. This is Bonaparte and he paid with Tucson. And they went on the world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte.
Cooper Systems, over in the Mount Moriah office. Park on the web, CooperSystems.com. If you're in the market for a computer, or if you need computer repair, that's the place you need to get in touch with. You can reach them at 360-9679, 901-360-9679. Talk to Lee Cooper, Lauren Cooper, any of the consultants at Cooper Systems. If you're in search of a new computer, tell them what it is you're going to do with that computer. Like, you're a gamer? Because you might need to spend some money. But if you're just messing around on Facebook, YouTube, emailing every once in a while, you don't need to spend $2,000 on a computer. It's a massive waste of money. You can get a computer that'll do the things you need it to do, if those are the things you need it to do, for a few $100. You can't get it anywhere, but you can get it at Cooper Systems because they have a variety. High-end machines, low-end machines, middle-of-the-road machines, desktop, notebooks, tablets, all kinds of brands. Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. Whatever you need, Cooper Systems either has it, or they can get it, or they can build it for you. 360-9679, 360-9679. That's Cooper Systems, Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, CooperSystems.com. Jeff Cargill will be here a little after 5 o'clock. I got a Dateline preview ready to go, but right now, four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
A TikTok user claimed that she picked up Brian Laundry, the boyfriend of missing woman Gabby Petito, while he was hiking alone in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming in late August. And you know what she said, Big Bennett?
What'd she say?
He was acting weird.
Uh-oh.
Weird.
So this is before the trip, obviously. This is a separate trip altogether, likely.
Oh, no. Gabby and Brian had been traveling the country for months.
Oh, so he was vanless. He didn't have his van with him.
August 29th is 4 days after the last time Gabby's family heard from Gabby.
Okay.
And a little more than a week before Gabby's family reported Gabby missing.
Okay, all right.
So Brian Laundrie's hiking in Grand Teton National Park. And this young woman named Miranda Baker, her and her boyfriend are in a Jeep, and they're driving, and Brian Laundrie is hitchhiking.
Okay.
Got his thumb in the air, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the way you hitchhike?
I think so.
Would you pick up a hitchhiker, by
Absolutely
the way?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
I've thought about it before.
No.
And then I'm like, you know what? You know, they could probably use, if you see
like,
somebody,
no offense.
Like, if you see somebody walking down the interstate, there's a good chance they could use some help.
I totally agree. Just,
and I was like, you know, I'm driving down the interstate. Like, I could probably help this person. It would be my good deed of the day. And then I'm like, what if I get stabbed?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you got to weigh the risk-reward there.
Right.
You know?
The reward is that I would feel good about helping somebody, mm-hmm. but the risk is a knife to the throat.
Yeah, I could die. Like,
I got kids to raise.
Too risky. Yep.
Yeah, it just feels too risky. So if you're ever hitchhiking and you see me drive by you, it's not that I don't want to help you. It's that I'm just scared of what might happen to me.
Me too. That's same here.
Do you would you discriminate with hitchhikers? In other words, would you not get a man, but you would get a woman?
No.
Even if she were pretty?
No.
Thought about picking up a pretty hitchhiker one time.
That could go in a whole different direction.
That's
not good either.
I did one time take a girl back to her college campus from the airport.
But you met her in the airport.
It's kind of like hitchhiking. We were in the Charlotte airport, and we were flying to Raleigh-Durham, maybe? I remember I was going to like a Duke, North Carolina basketball game or something, and it became clear that our connecting flight was not going to connect. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, a little different because there's a bit of a backstory there.
And so I had been sitting with this girl on the plane, and it becomes clear, like, we're stuck in this airport.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I'm not trying to be a creep, but I'm going to rent a car and drive it from here because I got to get there. And I'm not trying to be a weirdo. And if you're uncomfortable, feel free to say, no, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm happy to take you and drop you off at school.
Nice.
And she did. And it was all pleasant and totally innocent and exactly the way that's supposed to be. But I wasn't worried about what might happen to me. And I wonder if I wasn't worried, it's because it was just a woman instead of a man. Or was I not worried because I had already spent time on the plane?
Yeah, you'd already been around her on the plane.
This wasn't a hitchhiker.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
If you saw a pretty hitchhiker on the interstate, would you pick him up?
No.
No, you're just out? You're out on hitchhikers.
I think I'm just out, man.
I think I'm out, too.
Yeah.
I think I'm just out completely on hitchhikers.
I'll let somebody else take the risk.
So Miranda and her boyfriend, not out on hitchhikers. They're like the opposite of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's August 29th. They're in Grand Teton. And it's about 5:30 p.m., and they see old Brian, thumb in the air. That's still how you hitchhike, right?
Yep.
Thumb in the air, and they say, this fella here looks like he could use some help. And so they said, where are you going? He said, I'm trying to go to Jackson. And they said, we're going to Jackson. If you want to hop in the back of the Jeep, be happy to take you. It's like 10 minutes away, 10 minutes in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's that like in walking?
Yeah, probably, like, closer to an hour, right?
I would say much longer than an hour.
Is it?
Well, 10 minutes in a car, let's say that's 10 miles. You ain't doing 10 miles in an hour.
Maybe 2 hours.
Could be two or three.
I don't know.
I mean, now who could tell? You know, I guess it comes down to how fast you walk.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to come down to how fast you walk. So they're like, it's a 10-minute drive. Hop in if you want to. So hops in, and they're like, so what's your story? And he says, well, you know, I was been hiking for 3 days down Snake River, and my girlfriend, she is back in our van working on our social media page, and I've been hiking for 3 days. It's like, you just left your, why didn't you, what? Why didn't you, you clearly need a ride,
mm-hmm.
but you left the van with your girlfriend?
That's weird.
Like, what's, but whatever, not asking questions. But like, it doesn't make much sense. And they said, been hiking for 3 days, huh? And he said, yeah. And they said, they didn't say this, but in the TikTok video, she says, that didn't really make sense because he wasn't dirty. He didn't seem dirty. He didn't smell dirty. Like, if you're hiking for 3 days, you're going to look like somebody and probably smell like somebody who'd been hiking for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look like that at all. She said, beyond that, he had a backpack that was basically empty. He said he'd been sleeping on a tarp. But if you're going to go hiking for 3 days, you're probably going to want a tent and food. He had neither. They thought that was odd. She said he offered to pay us $200. We thought that was odd. Bro, it's a 10-minute drive. Like, if you want to throw us a 20, maybe, or nothing, fine. Why are you offering to get, I'll give you $200 for taking me. What? Just, like, weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just one day, like, now, keep in mind, they are having this entire experience from a different perspective than they understand it now. They didn't know this guy's girlfriend was, fiance was missing. They just, but then they, 2 days ago, or watching the news like everybody else, they're like, that's the guy we picked up. And now that we're revisiting that story, he was kind of acting a little weird. And eventually they said he got out of the Jeep and said he was going to go hitchhike some more. And then 3 days later, he shows up back in Florida in the van. What do you make of all that, Big Bad Bennett?
Man, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
It seems like that just from if what they say is true, like what he was saying and whatnot, that maybe this was right after something went down.
I would assume so. But
especially if he's clean and he doesn't have anything in his backpack.
But we know he ended up with the van, so why doesn't he have the van now?
Okay, I'm wondering if, and again, just speculating here, the murder happens, panic, grab my stuff, I gotta go. I just killed this girl, I gotta get out of here. Okay? So I'm taking off on foot because, you know, I maybe killed her in the van. Who knows? And then he goes and hitchhikes and gets in the car with those people. They take him somewhere. You know, he could have been going to get some supplies for a cleanup job on the van.
Big Bad Bennett.
I mean, hey.
I can't say.
The van.
If there's one thing I know about murder, you cannot go buy supplies after you murder. You're on the Home Depot camera. There's a long list of people on Home Depot cameras buying cleaning supplies and shovels and stuff after they murder somebody.
Great,
can't do
GP,
that.
But GP, this, again, was a crime of passion. This is, if this
like
happened,
a crime of passion.
Spur of the moment, I don't think this was like a planned thing. I think this might have been a crime of passion, and so you're not prepared for what's going to happen after you commit the murder. You didn't know you were going to do it, or maybe you did subconsciously, but you know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, if for anybody out there who might murder in a moment of passion, as you put it,
mm-hmm.
just understand when you snap out of that, you cannot go to Home Depot and buy stuff.
Right.
I'm just trying to help.
Well,
you.
This seems like a fairly rural area. Maybe there's like, you know, like a local shop he went to get supplies. You
alternative
know?
Theory.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Alternative theory.
Did you like my theory, first of all?
It's got holes in it.
Okay.
It's got holes in it.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure I believe my theory. In fact, I'm telling you I don't. I'm just saying alternative theory. I'm trying to put everything out on the table. We know he ends up with the van.
Mm-hmm.
We also know he doesn't have the van now. This is why he's hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative theory. Gabby gets pissed at him, leaves him out in the desert.
Okay.
Now he's hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he doesn't have anything is because he never expected to be left out in Grand Teton National Park.
Okay. Yep.
But, like most young couples that argue and fight, they reconcile hours later. She reaches back out. Where are you at? Okay, I'm coming to get you. And then the next fight escalates
to
a murder.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
I just thought of that on my own.
That one makes a little more sense, I think.
Why doesn't he look like he's been hiking for 3 days? And why doesn't he have the stuff that people who hike usually have? Because his girlfriend just took the van and left him in Grand Teton National Park.
That, yep, because they were going to national parks, right? Like, that makes sense.
They got into a fight out there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.